WMAL News at 7, I'm Heather Curtis. The death toll continues to rise in the Bahamas, where many islands were left decimated by Hurricane Dorian. It's now at more than 40 and expected to rise, according to a top official. Correspondent Patrick Ottman says people there are still waiting for desperately needed help.
In Freeport, we're beginning to just now see the help arrive. We've seen cruise ships coming in. The airport is still not operational. There's a sense of some return to normalcy here, even though we still don't have water or power. There is a sense that at least food is coming in and help is coming in.
Some of that help from cruise lines.
Royal Caribbean, Norwegian, and Carnival cruise lines are heading to the Bahamas with supplies, including generators, water, cleaning supplies, clean sheets, and towels. Both Royal Caribbean and Norwegian say they will also donate at least $1 million to relief efforts. Disney Cruises will donate more than $1 million to relief efforts, too. Bahama Paradise Cruise Lines took supplies and first responders to the island this week and will take people from the Bahamas to Florida on its return trip today, free of charge. I'm Carrie Shoemaker.
As Dorian continues its move up the eastern seaboard, Massachusetts is expected to feel the effects today. Parts of Massachusetts and Maine are under tropical storm warnings. A hurricane watch is in effect for some Canadian provinces, including Nova Scotia. Following news of recent crimes and sexual assaults committed by illegal immigrants living in Montgomery County, Acting Director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services Ken Cuccinelli has challenged Montgomery County Executive Mark Elrich to a debate on the county's sanctuary policies.
They're protecting bad people. That's who they're protecting.
Ken Cuccinelli telling WMAL's Larry O'Connor he doesn't buy Mark Elrich's claim that Montgomery County is protecting the immigrant population.
Of the victims of this 7 crimes in the last month or so in Montgomery County that I've been tweeting about, a good number of them have been Hispanic victims of Hispanic criminals.
Cuccinelli says he has not yet gotten a reply to his debate challenge from the county executive. Barbara Britt, WMAL and WMAL.com.
Kids in Fairfax County public schools won't be sipping their sodas with straws this year. Plastic straws will no longer be routinely handed out in lunch lines after students petition the school board to cut down on their use. They're not totally outlawed, though. Kids who ask for them will get them. The school system's looking into paper or biodegradable straws in the future, but says it can't afford them now. A Loudoun County social sciences teacher is in line to become Virginia and maybe the nation's teacher of the year.
It's just a huge honor and enormously humbling.
Dominion High School's Jennifer Rogers was already Loudoun County's teacher of the year. This past week, she found out she's a regional finalist to be the statewide winner. What drives her to succeed in opening young minds?
Really a big focus for me has been expanding kids' global perspectives and getting them to think about their agency as change makers.
Virginia's Teacher of the Year will be chosen in October, and he or she will vie for the national title. John Matthews on WMAL and WMAL.com.
In sports, the Nats fell to the Braves 4-3. That series continues tonight at 7:20. The O's lose to the Rangers 7-6. Game 3 in that series tonight at 7:05. WMAL traffic and weather next.
Summertime in Washington. It's not the heat. It's not the humidity. It's how fast everything changes. From seasonal storms to full-scale weather events, trust WMAL for the summer weather info you need.
The severe thunderstorm warning, of course, these things come and they go.
Get accurate and dependable forecasts from the Weather Channel.
You might want to get ready for some heavy rain.
On 105.9 FM.
Active weather on the way.
Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention, if you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications such as chronic pain, infection, wound reopening, mesh migration, bowel obstruction, need revision surgery, or other complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Hernia repair surgery is common and requires a mesh product to be implanted inside your body. In May of 2016, the manufacturer of a popular hernia mesh product issued a mandatory global recall due to product defects. If you've had hernia surgery and have experienced complications, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation. Call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now at 800-245-5187. Our experienced attorneys will fight to get you the compensation you deserve. You pay nothing unless we get a recovery in your favor. Time is limited to file a claim, so call the Hernia Mesh Helpline now, 800-245-5187. Operators are standing by 24/7. Call 800-245-5187. That's 800-245-5187.
It's 7:05 WMAL Traffic and Weather. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Earlier roadwork on the Beltway in Virginia on the outer loop between Arlington Boulevard and the Little River Turnpike cleared away. All lanes are now open. Delays are easing. However, there is still a work zone on the inner loop between the 495 Express Lanes and Gallows Road. The left side of the roadwork is closed for paving work. Northbound 395 between Glebe Road and Washington Boulevard, there's still some construction there, and that is causing some delays. And the HOV lanes are closed for weekend road work. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Today there is a coastal flood advisory in effect for some areas, but we will have a high around in the lower 80s. Right now, 65 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Is your will updated? And do you have a good basic estate plan in place so your family is protected just in case? Listen this Saturday morning at 9 on WMAL to Legally Speaking, where attorney Mike Collins will answer any question you may have about wills or estate planning. That's Legally Speaking, Saturday at 9. To learn more, log on to WMAL.com and search Legally Speaking. That's WMAL.com. Search Legally Speaking.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
105.9 FM, WMAL.
It is a Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. John Gizzi joins us each week to kick off the 7 o'clock hour. John, good morning.
Good morning to you, Rick. Glad to be here.
Your perch as the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. Congress is back in session this week. I guess my first question, are any Republicans coming back?
Well, an increasing number are saying I'm out of here. In fact, at last count, the number is 15. I have said there are two more who are going to announce quite soon that they are leaving. One, Congressman Paul Cook of California, going back to county politics in San Bernardino, California, and the other Congressman, Ken Buck of Colorado, announcing he is stepping down after four terms. The offices will not confirm any of this, but take my word for it, it's going to happen. Most recently, Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner of Wisconsin, after 41 years in the House of Representatives, the second longest Republican in the House, a past chairman of the Judiciary Committee, announced that he was calling it quits. Now, again, Congressman Sensenbrenner represents the 5th District of Wisconsin, a safe Republican seat. His district is not going to change hands, but a costly and potentially bloody primary will follow. This is the case in many of the seats that are safe. Tremendous resources are spent on candidates vying to succeed the incumbent that could have been used elsewhere to take out Democrats. John Shimkus of Illinois, who first came to Congress from the same seat Abe Lincoln had, that was back in 1996 that he won it, he is now retiring, said he was tiring of visiting the 41 counties in his district. And Bill Flores of Texas, a Republican upset winner in 2010, who's kept the seat and made it more Republican, said that he's stepping down. So overall, we're seeing a tremendous odds that favor the Republicans heading for the exit door. 15 Republicans resigning, retiring, or seeking another office, to a grand total of 3 Democrats doing the same.
Now, this coming Tuesday, the Republicans could lose another seat, I believe.
They could. I'm not going to make any predictions this morning, Rick, but let me point out, the district you're referring to is North Carolina's 9th District, a place I've been to and sent stories from. This is Charlotte. It is the longest Republican-held seat in the South anywhere. It elected a Republican House member in 1952, and the GOP's hold on the 9th District has been unbroken all these 67 years. That may change. Dan McCready, a decorated veteran who narrowly lost the election last fall, is in a neck-and-neck race with State Senator Dan Bishop, a swashbuckling conservative who was picked as the Republican nominee when the apparent winner, Mark Harris, admitted that he violated election laws and stood down. President Trump is making a special trip to the Tar Heel State on Monday and will try and boost the chances of Dan Bishop. Even if the Republicans win, the very fact that they've had to spend so much money and use so much energy to keep a seat this historically Republican in their hands speaks volumes about what may be a race of unexpected losses for the GOP in 2020. We'll see.
Now, you say it was a very tight race the first go-around for McCready. If the Democrat does win, this would look bad not only for President Trump, who'd been down there on Monday, but it would start the alarm bells ringing as to what's going to happen in 2020.
Exactly. Let me just say this. You and I and a few other political junkies know all about North Carolina 9. I guarantee you, if Democrat McCready emerges triumphant on Tuesday night, everyone will know about North Carolina. It will be national news in much the same way as that race in Pennsylvania a year ago alarmed Democrats when someone named Colin Lamb came out of nowhere and won an historically Republican seat. Well, that Lamb was a sure indicator that a lot of Republicans were going to be slaughtered in November, and they were.
Of course, if the Republican wins, you won't see that on CNN or read it in the New York Times.
No, we won't, and we won't even know the name Dan Bishop.
One other note in North Carolina politics, Tom Tillis, the Republican senator, up for re-election, but he's facing some stiff competition in his primary.
He certainly is. Garland Tucker is someone I've interviewed a few times. He's a retired businessman, an author of two books, and a conservative intellectual and someone who puts his money where his mouth is, that is, behind conservative pro-free market organizations. He's running a hard-hitting race against freshman Senator Tillis, slamming him first on the issues of spending, that Tillis was not willing to make the kind of cuts in the budget that are needed to turn around the red ink that usually government seems to be drowning in these days. And second, that he just is not a hardliner enough on immigration and would not back the president on declaring an emergency in order to build the wall. Yes, Senator Tillis did turn around and support the president on that, but it was only after the issue was highly dramatized by primary opponent Tucker. My guess is Republicans are going to have themselves quite a primary, and it will go down to the wire next March.
Speaking of primaries, the Democratic presidential debate coming up Thursday. 10 of the candidates will be on stage, but even more of them won't be on stage. That's odd.
Well, it certainly is, and these debate rules for the Democrats have just lost me. One has to have a certain showing in the polls, as well as raised a certain amount of money in order to sit on that stage and debate. Eric Swalwell, congressman from California, couldn't do it. Seth Moulton, congressman from Massachusetts. Jay Inslee, governor of Washington State, and former Colorado governor John Hickenlooper, who dropped down to a race for the U.S. Senate. My guess is that we will be down to 7 to 10 active Democrats vying by Christmas, and I think you will see most of them on the stage this week. The lion's share of attention, of course, will be on the front runner. Whenever you're ahead, people are shooting at you. Joe Biden is going to have a lot of splaining to do, primarily about his gaffes that he's made, his forgetfulness, and sometimes even misstating his own record, as he did recently on committing U.S. troops to Iraq under the Bush administration while he was in the Senate. having to explain old votes is the curse of having a long and durable resume in the office. And I would say not only Joe Biden, but Bernie Sanders will do a lot of explaining on votes as the race winnows down.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. As always, John, thank you very much.
Really appreciate it. And wherever Dorian is going, think hard and pray hard for the people who've lost their homes from the Bahamas to North Carolina, and wherever Dorian goes and whatever he leaves in his path.
Thank you, John. 7:16 Saturday morning update on WMAL. Cheryl Atkinson up next, but first off, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Still some road work on 395 in the main lanes northbound between Glebe Road and Washington Boulevard. They're along the left side. That is causing some slow traffic. HOV lanes closed for weekend road work. Now keep in mind that the More Than Pink Walk is going on this morning in the district, and that has some street closures in effect until about 12:30 this afternoon. That includes Pennsylvania Avenue northwest between 12th Street and 9th Street, and also 12th Street will be closed between Constitution Avenue and E Street in Northwest. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We've got sunshine today, the high temperature around 83. We will be in the low 80s straight through Tuesday. Pretty much cloudy weather for Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Wednesday, it's going to be cloudy. We'll be up to 90 degrees on Wednesday. 61 now in D.C. We're heading to 83, and it's 7:17 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Saturday morning update continues on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler, and we're joined by Cheryl Atkinson. She is the host of Full Measure. That's tomorrow morning, ABC 7 at 10 o'clock. And Cheryl, it is great to have you back, and I know you have had a very busy summer of travel spanning the globe to cover a variety of different stories.
Yes, we, went to Ireland and Northern Ireland and UK, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Greece, Puerto Rico, and other places. It was really exciting. Every place had an adventure and different stories, I think, that haven't been told that we started shooting for this season.
The crisis on the southern border here in the U.S. has dominated the news in 2019, but I wanted to ask you about Greece, because there are countries in Europe that face similar border crises, and on top of the current problems, Turkish President Erdogan is threatening to, quote, open the gates to allow Syrian refugees to leave Turkey for Western countries. That's unless a controversial safe zone inside Syria is established soon. Quoting The Guardian UK, with Turkey hosting some 3.6 million Syrian refugees, Erdogan's threat raised the specter of a surge of people into Europe that could dwarf even the recent migration crisis at its peak. You were in Greece this summer. Tell us about the border crisis they're facing.
What people probably don't know is it's picking up again. The refugees never stopped coming after the 2015-2016 influx, but Europe kind of tried to shut the door. You know, everybody said Germany accepted so many. Well, they did in 2015, but in 2016 they turned around and started rethinking all of it. So many of them are being deported. They're shutting the door to new refugees and illegal immigrants. So what happens is they are already coming over from Turkey, and no one seems to be trying to stop them through these human smugglers, people from Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Africa. And they come over to Greece. There's a place where we were with the Greek Coast Guard that's only a couple of miles between Greece and Turkey. And they come over with such regularity that the captain of the ship knew exactly where we were going to go to pick them up, as they're ordered to do. And they take them ashore into Greece, and since the rest of Europe won't take them, this is a huge sore spot with Greece. They are storing, as they say, these refugees, and they're quickly working toward the number of 100,000 that are just holed up at overcrowded refugee camps all over this small country. There's 72 camps right now and growing.
Do you find it to be as polarizing a political issue in these countries in Europe as it is here?
Yes. I feel like they're maybe a year or two ahead of where we are. They've already gone through this sort of, gee, we love having them, we want to help them, and reached the point of, wow, there was really no plan, we can't absorb them all. And many countries are voted out the leadership that was in, you know, in power when all of this happened for not doing a better job It's not just a left-right issue. It's sort of a disgust with the general establishment over the way they handle things. This crisis was part of what's at the root of the British exit from the European Union, the British vote to leave the EU. A lot of that was over the handling of these refugees. We went to these Scandinavian countries where they welcomed many of these mostly Muslim refugees only to have this culture clash that has ensued. You know, it's really wreaking havoc across Europe in ways that is not widely reported here.
Well, that's a story tomorrow morning on ABC 7, 10 o'clock in full measure. Wanted to turn to domestic issues, and that is an article that you wrote at The Hill. It came out this week. The headline, "Does Comey Deserve an Apology? Not if you read the IG's report." And I think so many of us were just dumbfounded at Comey's response to 72 pages of some serious, serious things that he apparently committed.
Well, I reserved judgment until I could read the report because, you know, a lot of the stuff that you read is out of context that I find it may not reflect what's really happened. So I went through the report, and what surprised me was this was 72 pages of indictments of what the IG said very clearly was Comey violating policy after policy, law after law, an executive order, mishandling classified information, using his personal printer and computer to create memos of his meetings with the president, to revise them, to store them, not using the secure, what they call SCIF that they built for him in his house where that business is supposed to be done, not returning this government property that actually belongs to us, not returning it when he was fired, not telling the FBI that he'd kept copies, giving copies improperly, said the IG, to his attorneys, a total of 12 copies to three attorneys that he was not authorized to do, giving a copy to a friend of his to leak to the New York Times for his own personal political goals. I mean, it was just top to bottom, really a horrible indictment of the practices of the former FBI director. And yet what Comey took away from that was, some people read the tweet that said he felt he was owed an apology because he is right on this one point that he cherry-picked out of there. There was a sub point that said, of the classified material that he mishandled and gave to other people, he didn't give it to the New York Times. So he took that little bit as if, gee, this report exonerated me, when in fact the whole report just categorized violation after violation.
What I'm having trouble understanding is if there had been a rank-and-file FBI agent or staff member at the FBI that had done similar things that James Comey had done, likely would have been terminated, possibly lost pension, and possibly faced criminal liability.
Of course. And, you know, to hear Comey's explanations to the inspector general, he said things like, oh, I didn't understand these weren't my own personal memos, when the IG said none of that was credible, that he had expressed many times he understood this was work product. He should have known and did know the rule. And he didn't use this excuse, these were my personal memos, until late in the game when the IG started questioning him about the violation. So, you know, the things that he said were just so incredible for someone who's supposed to be in charge of people who know how to handle classified information and know how to treat government memos and so on. It's pretty surprising. And I think you raised the point there's a bigger divide in this country growing over what some people call the two-tier justice system. And I did an informal, unscientific poll at CherylAtkison.com, and almost all of the respondents said they felt there is a two-tiered justice system in this country where, you know, Lady Justice is not blind and does not hand out her judgments equally. It depends on who you are.
You'll find Cheryl's opinion piece on James Comey and the Inspector General's report at thehill.com. And, of course, Full Measure tomorrow morning, ABC 7 at 10 o'clock. Cheryl, thank you very much.
Thank you, Rick.
It's 7:24. It is a Saturday morning update on WMAL. Well, we've got the latest in Ken Cuccinelli versus Montgomery County. That's coming up. Also, we'll talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and Kate T. McFarland on the way.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Have you wanted to speak a new language, but you thought it'd be too hard or take too much time? Then go to Babbel.com, download the app, and get 50% off select plans for a limited time. In just 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. And right now, you can get Babbel at up to 50% off. Babbel starts out teaching you words and phrases by matching them with pictures. You won't believe how easy the interactive program is. Soon the sentences get a little bigger, and before you know it, you're having simulated conversations voiced by native speakers. And because Babbel is crafted by language experts and uses the spaced repetition method, in just 10 to 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking the language of your choice with real confidence. With Babbel, you can speak a language, and for a limited time, get up to 50% off select plans. Just go to Babbel.com and start your first lesson in the language of your choice at up to 50% off. Download the Babbel app or go to Babbel.com for 50% off. That's Babbel.com.
It's now a distinct honor and privilege to welcome to the Larry O'Connor Show President Donald Trump. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Larry.
Where Washington's power players come to talk.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker.
Well, it's always great to be with you guys.
105.9 FM. WMAL.
Hey, I'm Eric Stewart, the host of Pointing You Home here on WMAL for the last 15 years. And every Sunday morning from 8 till 8:30, I bring you the truth in real estate. We cover everything from the seniors' solutions of real estate, how to downsize, to how to prepare your home and how to get it ready and what to put into it to get the best return. So be sure and join me every Sunday morning right here on WMAL at 8 o'clock for a half an hour of the best on real estate. That's Pointing You Home, Sunday mornings at 8 right here on WMAL.
7:27, it is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler, and you've heard the back and forth between Ken Cuccinelli, who is the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services Director, between Ken Cuccinelli and Montgomery County. And the story starts that in July 25th, and since July 25th, Montgomery County Police have arrested at least seven confirmed illegal aliens over alleged sex crimes. Now, the arrests all came after the county executive, Mark Elrich, signed an executive order designating Montgomery County a sanctuary jurisdiction. So these arrests have gotten national attention. There was a statement issued by Montgomery County saying there's been a lot of inaccurate information spread by the White House, President Trump, Ken Cuccinelli, local and national conservative news outlets, and neo-Nazi sympathizers regarding our criminal justice system and its process. These individuals and organizations should be ashamed for spreading false information seeking to establish a baseless, illogical, and xenophobic connection between a person's failure to obtain legal status and their propensity to commit a sex crime. Well, Cuccinelli called the Nazi implications, quote, out of bounds in civil society. He's challenged Elrich to a debate, even going into detail about the precise terms of how a debate would take place. Here's what Cuccinelli had to say. If Montgomery County Chairman Elrich thinks the sanctuary policy they are so proud of is so good, I challenge him to a debate on the subject. Neutral location, such as C-SPAN, or webcast, no audience present, 1 hour total, 2.5 minute open and close, with alternating 5 minute blocks determined by lot. So Ken Cuccinelli has taken it up a notch, challenged him to a debate. It is 7:29. It is a Saturday morning update on WMAL. 7:30 news coming up next with Heather Curtis. Then we're back with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and KT McFarland.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertising. Sponsored by Case Legal Media. Attention. This is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation.
Call us now at 800-716-0457. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-716-0457. 800-716-0457. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-716-0457. Again, 800-716-0457.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington.
105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station, where Washington comes to talk. News. Now.
WMAL News at 7:30. I'm Heather Curtis. Relief efforts continue in the Bahamas after Hurricane Dorian left behind massive destruction. More than 40 people have been killed by Dorian, and that number is expected to increase. Survivors have been left without the basics. Janelle Eli of the American Red Cross is in Nassau.
Right now, people really want food, water, and emergency shelter. So many people I spoke with lost their homes.
Some parts of our area may still feel some effects from Dorian today. Weather Channel meteorologist Jeff Marr.
But coastal flood warnings are in effect across parts of the Delmarva down into the southeastern parts of Virginia. We will have some water levels that will be running about 1 to 2 feet above normal levels, so that could cause some flooding concerns for us.
Along with rough surf and rip currents at the beaches. Other than that, he says we'll have a calm day. Massachusetts and Maine expected to experience tropical storm force winds today. Many were outraged after it was revealed that multiple illegal immigrants living in Montgomery County had been charged with sexual assaults and other violent crimes in the past few months. Among them, Acting Director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, Ken Cuccinelli, who challenged County Exec Mark Elrich to a debate.
I know the immigration debate is very emotional. It's a hot topic and so forth. I'm trying to get us to a policy debate.
He tells WMAL's The Larry O'Connor Show he has not heard back from Elrich. Neither did we when we reached out to his office for comment. In sports, the Nats fell to the Braves 4-3 and the O's lost to the Rangers 7-6. Up next, traffic and weather.
Are you trying to work, raise a family, and manage your investment portfolio for retirement? If you're like most folks, your investments take a back seat to other priorities in your life. Hi, this is Greg Smith, co-host of WMAL's Wise Investor Show, heard every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. We manage investments for our clients, so give us a call. We'd be happy to discuss how we might help you with your portfolio.
Log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed wise investor.
You may have heard my story, how I love my Goodspeed Art Support so much that I bought the store. I'm Jonathan Cotton, and now one of my favorite things is seeing reviews from other Goodspeed customers. Here's one from Terry in Richmond.
I'm a nurse and always on my feet. I have a nerve on the top of my foot that is always giving me problems. I've seen neurologists and foot doctors, and nothing helped until I got my art supports from the Goodspeed store. No more nerve pain. I would recommend anyone that works on their feet to get to their store ASAP.
Here's another from William in Newport News.
My back pain is still decreasing, and I've stopped taking all of my pain medications. I have recommended you to anyone who will listen.
Then this review from Garland makes me chuckle.
I've only had Goodfeet arch supports 4 days, and they are working for me. My knees are getting better, and no pain in my feet. I tell all my friends how I thought this was not a good idea. Man, I was wrong.
Come in today for your free personalized fitting and test walk. The Goodfeet store is located in Fairfax at Fairfax Corner and Rockville, Maryland on Rockville Pike and coming soon to Leesburg.
WMAL Traffic and Weather. Here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
We'll still find a work zone in place on the Beltway in Virginia and Annandale in the inner loop between the 495 express lanes at the south end and Gallows Road. Along the left side, they are doing paving work that is causing some slow traffic. Still some road work in place on northbound 395 between Glebe Road and Washington Boulevard along the left side, but that is scheduled to be picked up soon. Earlier road work on the outer loop in Arlington Boulevard all cleared away. We do have a work zone northbound 295 between the Naval Research Lab and Malcolm X Avenue. Long-term work zone is causing some slow traffic. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
A coastal flood advisory is in effect from noon to 6 today. Mostly sunny, a high near 84, right now 64 degrees in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on WMAL.
Amy, what brings you into the Xfinity store?
I heard a drum roll. What's the big announcement?
It's the best deal of the year on Xfinity.
That deserves better. Give me the sticks.
But we're talking huge savings.
I heard that.
Plus even more savings when you add Xfinity Mobile.
That calls for a little...
Amy? Amy?
Sometimes you gotta let the sticks take the wheel, you know?
Hurry in today. The Xfinity best deal of the year ends September 16th. That's simple, easy, awesome.
Get huge savings on Xfinity Internet, TV, and voice for only $79.99 a month for 2 years with a two-year agreement. With a free speed upgrade for a year, and you'll get $100 back. And ask about even more savings when you add Xfinity Mobile. You could get $250 back. Don't miss it. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Restrictions apply. New standard triple play customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV and RSN fees extra and subject to change. After two-year agreement term and one-year speed upgrade promo, regular rates apply.
Thanks for calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK. This is Sarah. How can I help?
Can you help me with spring cleaning, even if it's not springtime?
Sure, we can do that. We bring the springtime with us.
Are you willing to come after dark?
We work until midnight, 7 days a week.
How much lead time do I need to give you?
We can be there in 90 minutes.
You can't imagine how happy this is going to make my wife.
It makes us happy, too.
Happy, happy!
Happy, happy!
When you want to give happiness, call 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Happy, happy.
7:36, it is the Saturday morning update. Thank you for being with us. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is the president of the London Center for Policy Research and a CIA-trained intel operative. Tony, good morning.
Morning, Rick. Always great to be on. Thanks.
We have been watching the tensions ratchet up between the United States and Iran.
Right.
And on Wednesday, President Rouhani made a threat. He said he would take additional steps and accelerate Iranian nuclear activities if Europe failed to provide a solution by Friday to the problems that they're having with sanctions, as well as the U.S. sanctions. He said, quote, Iran's third step is of an extraordinarily significant nature. As of Wednesday, he didn't detail what it would be. He said it would come out in a day or two. Yeah. This morning, Iran's atomic energy spokesman has issued new warnings about the nuclear deal. He is with the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran. He said this morning that Iran has the ability to go beyond 20% enrichment of uranium. He's warning that Europeans should know that there's not much time left to save the 2015 deal. He did say that Iran will continue to allow UN inspectors to access nuclear sites in the country, but analysts say that a 20% enrichment is really just a short technical step away from 90% enrichment, which is weapons grade level. Your analysis of the analysts.
Yeah, he's correct. Look, this is what's going on. The Iranians are very upset because I think the sanctions and the whole thing kicking back in is having an effect. It is something that they recognize they're not going to be able to intimidate their way out of. They tried that, didn't work. And so now this is their kind of last line of threat, if you will. And they specifically announced that they're going to use advanced centrifuges, which will enhance that uranium you just mentioned more rapidly, more precisely, and clearly to the percentage necessary for weapons-grade uranium to be produced. That's where we're at. And I think the fact that they did make that announcement, within the last 12 or so hours, indicates that, well, there's no deal, and they're going to go down that path. And this puts them on a very dangerous path because this does remove the last vestiges of the so-called agreement, this joint agreed-upon framework. And the European allies got to make a choice. Are they going to live by their obligations to the United States and the United Nations and us by the fact that the Iranians are clearly violating the agreement, therefore there's no basis for an agreement? And I think that's what we're going to see play out this coming week. This will probably be something that is discussed heavily this coming week because this is, you know, the Iranians are trying to get everybody's attention. I think they have, and I just don't think it's going to go the way they want.
So the State Department on Wednesday, when Rouhani made that threat Wednesday, called it an attempt for negotiating leverage to extort the international community. And we know that the sanctions are the issue that are holding up talks with the Iranian president, Rouhani. President Trump would like to talk. Rouhani says, no, I'm not talking until you lift the sanctions. So a bit of a stalemate there. And as we're seeing with China, who gives here?
I think they do. I think China's going to give two, to be honest with you, and we're talking about Iran right now. And look, the Iranians have been isolated. They continue to have a limited number of people they can obtain essentially commercial goods from. They're being limited on hard currency, and I think this stuff will backfire on them. The Europeans always like to have the pretense that they're all above dirty deeds and they want to be seen as negotiators. This is going to remove any idea that the Iranians are trying to negotiate and cooperate. And so I think this is going to push the Europeans more to our side as well. So I just think it's a bad calculation by Iran. I don't think it's one that's all that is much of a surprise, but I think it's something we have to take seriously. And look, this, I don't want to get too far off topic here, but, you know, James Mattis made the comments relating to the Iranian bad acts when he was commander of Central Command, talking about the plot here in the United States when the Iranians were plotting to do assassinations and stuff like that, how President Obama didn't take any action. We're seeing them attempting the same playbook in many ways against us now as they did then. It's just it worked back then. It's not going to work this time.
So we know that peace negotiations have been underway with the Taliban over Afghanistan, but a U.S. soldier was killed along with 11 others on Thursday. That was a car bombing outside of the NATO headquarters in Kabul. And it is the final stages of negotiating the peace deal, and it could result in thousands of troops coming out in the next 135 days or so. General Mattis has cautioned against pulling all troops out in one fell swoop. And just in general, there's been a lot of criticism of this deal. Can we trust the Taliban? And there you see they took credit for that bombing. Where are you on this, Tony?
The Taliban have outlined their strategy, and their strategy is to essentially pretend to negotiate, and as soon as we leave, take over. And they've not hidden this. So from the point of perspective regarding our current negotiations, I think we're negotiating from a position of weakness. I've said this to the folks negotiating as well. And I've also pointed out very clearly that I think the wrong people are negotiating. Just saying, the current guy in charge of the effort, he was ambassador part of the time when I was in Afghanistan, and he did not do well. And I don't think this is going well. Remember, we're on like the ninth round of talks. Each one in the past has failed. Rick, we don't even have a ceasefire. I don't know how we have any leverage to push the agenda we have to include sustaining the gains we made with the Afghan people. Big issue is women's rights. We have helped establish women's schools, women in society. The moment we step away, it's all gone. So we have to make a policy choice. Are we going to try to leave with a negotiated peace which actually sustains to some level, or do we just walk away? And I don't think we've clearly said in our own minds what we're going to do or what we're trying to achieve. And I think this is a very poor way. I hate saying this, Rick, because I know a lot of the people who are involved, but I'm just saying, you know, I cannot in good faith put a happy face on something that looks to me is going to be an abject failure, much to the level of we saw in Iraq after we left there.
Well, the president has been so critical in the past of similar decisions made by the Obama administration. I'm not quite understanding why he's pushing so hard on this with all of the concerns that you and others are raising.
I think the president is equally concerned. I don't think he's buying what he's being told by State Department. You know, I'd like to believe he's seeing through some of this. And I love Mike Pompeo. He's a great Secretary of State. He's a great director of CIA. But I think that even his own internal folks are feeding him a line about the what to expect. And so I'm just hoping before we, you know, sign away the whole thing and we see helicopters on the embassy in Kabul pulling our people out before the fall, I really hope we get our act together. So I hate to sound that severe, but I think that's unfortunately the path we're on right now.
Want to turn to an op-ed that you've written at thewesternjournal.com. Headline, President Trump's decision to end the Flores Agreement is great news for American citizens and exploited migrant children alike. Tell us what the Flores Settlement Agreement is and why you see this as a plus for both the U.S. citizens and the migrant kids.
Yeah, so back in about 97, during the Clinton administration, they came up with this agreement, internal, not congressionally driven, that illegal immigrant children who show up here unaccompanied will be held for 20 days and then released. And then essentially they get lost. They never show up. They become part of the scenery and obviously their day in court is never had because they don't show up. Now, what has happened is nefarious forces figured out ways to use this to their advantage. Child trafficking, mules, all these other things we commonly see and understand happen. And this has become a magnet, drawing people to the border. So all of these factors, I think, had to be examined, and this program was examined very closely. Remember, we're over 2.5 years into this administration, and the president decided this is disadvantaging our ability to protect the border and, frankly, protect children, minors, would be essentially used for purposes of losing a loophole of getting him into the country and getting him released. So that's what the deal is. It's been stopped. There was some wailing and gnashing of teeth from the left, but I think most people, if you just look at the policy and look at what the results were, the bad results, I think it was the right move.
So this is another one of these situations where, just due to the politics of the debate back and forth on illegal immigration, the presidential election and the congressional elections coming up, no matter what makes sense, there are certain parties that are just going to take one side or the other.
They are. And again, if you really are concerned about child safety, if you're worried about actual securing the border, if you're worried about trying to eliminate things, Rick, which essentially help create the conditions of chaos at the border, then you should be understanding of why this policy was removed. But obviously, as much as Alabama became an issue this past week, this is going to be an issue again going into the fall. So.
And there was a development in the Alabama case yesterday. So it continues. Yep. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, as always, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Rick.
We're at 7:47. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. A quick program note. If you are a Dr. Tom Rozelle Live fan here on WMAL, an important heads up for you. His Ageless Health program has moved from Sundays at noon to Saturdays at 4 o'clock. That's through the remainder of the football season due to the NFL coverage on Sundays. So you can catch Dr. Tom Rozelle live this afternoon at 4 right here on WMAL. Time now for a check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Work zone still in place on northbound 395 between Glebe Road and Washington Boulevard. They're along the left side, and that is still causing some slow traffic. Keep in mind HOV lanes closed for weekend road work. Also, keep in mind that the More for Pink Walk is happening today, resulting in some street closures until about 12:30 this afternoon. That would include Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest between 12th Street and 9th Street. That is closed, and 12th Street is closed between Constitution Avenue and E Street. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Well, for today, it's going to be perfect. We'll have a high temperature of 83 and the sunshine. Cloudy weather Sunday through Tuesday will be in the low 80s straight through the beginning of the week. Back up to 90 on Wednesday. 62 in D.C., headed to 83. KT McFarland is next. It's 7:48 on the Saturday morning update.
Where Washington's power players come to talk.
Hello, Mr. Vice President. Mike Pence is here. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you.
And listen.
I listen every morning as I drive to the office.
WMAL.
Secretary of Housing and Urban Development and a good friend of the program, Dr. Ben Carson.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
Senator Tom Cotton.
Thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Kellyanne Conway.
It's great to be with you.
Well, thank you for being here.
On 105.9 FM.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's good to join you.
Washington's Mall. WMAL.
Get a seat in a brand new cat machine for less than $400 a month. Alvin Cat, your local Caterpillar dealer, now offering 0% financing for 60 months. Visit our showroom in Manassas or digwithcat.com. Snap into a cat today. Dealer territory restrictions may apply.
Pop quiz. If you sell a home for $500,000, how much would a traditional real estate agent charge in commission? If you guessed $25,000 to $30,000, you're right. But if you think that's the only way, you're wrong. This is why thousands of homeowners are making the switch to Rex. With Rex, you get a dedicated agent and a full-service experience at a fraction of the cost. Rex uses game-changing technology to cut out the middleman and save homeowners tens of thousands of dollars in fees. See if you qualify by calling 833-REX-HOME. That's 833-REX-HOME. Remember, this is your home. Why give an insane amount of equity away to an agent? Rex offers the lowest fee in the industry without skimping on service. You'll work with a licensed local expert with you every step of the way. Get the most out of your home. See if you qualify by calling 833-REX-HOME. 833-REX-HOME. That's 833-REX-HOME.
REO 2002-00541.
7:50, it is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Great to have you with us, and it is always great to have KT McFarland with us, former Deputy National Security Advisor in the Trump administration. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have seen a lot of controversy in the UK, and really the Boris Johnson Brexit deal is in danger, and many in the UK are trying to delay the exit from Brexit, and I wanted to get your take on what happens next for Boris Johnson.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, well, just when you think that the only thing that Boris Johnson and Donald Trump have in common is their weird hairstyle, well, it turns out they're brothers from a different mother. Okay, so first, Trump and Boris, look, I can't call him by his last name, Johnson, because it just makes him seem so bland, and ditto with calling Trump anything other than Trump, because Donald is so bland. So I'm going to call them Trump and Boris. They are hated by their respective establishments, which control most of the press, like in each country, all the opposition, the part of their own parties who accuse Trump and Boris of being dictators, shredding laws, weird, unconventional personalities. Well, you know the litany. I don't have to go into it. But in America, they still can't accept that Trump won the 2016 election. And in Britain, they still can't accept that they lost the Brexit referendum. These two groups of elitist establishment, they cannot comprehend that the rest of their countrymen voted against them.
So you're saying they have Johnson derangement syndrome in the UK already?
They sure do. They sure do. Absolutely. And and for the same reason, both of those elite establishments are just determined to undo the election results because they think the people are just too dumb to know what's good for them. But it's not just that. Secondly, that Boris and Trump are both still beloved by the average commoner, the people who live outside the bubble, people outside of London or, in our case, New York, Boston, Washington, or California. And the next thing is that both Boris and Trump realize that their countries are headed for doom. Britain, if they stay in the German-dominated, growth-straggling, socialist-leaning bureaucracy on steroids that is the European Union, just the same way that Trump realizes that we, the U.S., can no longer afford to subsidize our economic competitors and our security partners. And Trump knows that the country that takes the most advantage of us, China, wants to replace us on the world stage. And then finally, I would say, Rick, they're both think-outside-the-box risk-takers. They don't back down. They both counterpunch. And they've always got another ace up their sleeves. They know how to dominate the media. They know they suck all the oxygen out of their domestic politics. Everybody else is measured by them. No other politician in their countries matter. So who knows how this turns out?
Yeah, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but what do you see as the key considerations or factors as this moves forward?
Well, in Britain, I think that, so they passed the Brexit referendum 3 years ago. And what I'd like to point out is that whether or not they remain in the European Union, most people, if they have that referendum again today, not only with the people who voted for it in the first place to leave, they'll have even more people voting to leave. I talked to one of my buddies who's a Scottish lady who voted overwhelmingly to remain in the European Union when they had their referendum 3 years ago, as did most Scots. And she said to me, I'm a big believer in the European Union, but the way they've treated us for these 3 years in negotiation, pushing us for wanting our independence, sabotaging our economic interests, holding us hostage to their high demands for ransom, and basically screwing around with us. She said, I will happily vote to leave the European Union this time. And although I am a lifelong member of the Scottish Nationalist Party, which always votes to the left of Labour, so she's far left on the political spectrum, she said, this time I'm going to vote for Boris. He's a fighter. The other ones are all just wimps. I've had enough of those European Union. I want out.
All right, I want to turn to General Mattis' new book. It's highly critical of the Obama administration, and among the quotes, catastrophic decisions. As the Washington Examiner puts it, Mattis savages Obama for, quote, failure in foreign policy. And he was fired abruptly from CENTCOM at the time, and quite an eye-opener. And a lot of people think that because the book is entitled with the term Call Sign Chaos, Learning to Lead, a lot of people were saying, well, that must be the Trump administration. Well, he's reflecting that back on Barack Obama. And I wanted to get your sense of the criticism, and you were there firsthand to see this type of policy that you inherited from the Obama administration and what that means moving forward for our foreign policy.
Yeah, you know, typically, you got it right, but the rest of the chattering classes in Washington are so infected with that Trump derangement syndrome, they can't even read this book clearly. Mattis, who I have known for decades, I respect immensely. He has written a scathing criticism of a president, but not Trump. It's of Obama, and by extension, Joe Biden, who is running for president. And I don't always agree with Mattis, but I always listen to him, and I respect his judgment, and I admire his unwavering patriotism and integrity. And so what he's describing in his book is that essentially Obama snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. And after many, many mistakes that Bush made in Iraq and Afghanistan, he finally, in the end, righted things, at least in Iraq. And then Obama comes in, and he throws it all away. In the end, Bush shouldn't have gone in, and Obama shouldn't have gotten out. But when the Arab Spring then broke out across North Africa and the Middle East a few years later after we left Iraq, Obama then pulled the rug out from under some of our allies, especially Egypt, and the entire region has been fractured mess ever since, with ethno-sectarian tribal warfare in many of these countries and people fighting along the same tribal lines as they have for 3,000 or 4,000 years.
Okay, so that's your sort of assessment on the Mattis book, but I wanted to ask you in particular, and you have such a vast experience at the Pentagon and obviously at the White House as the Deputy National Security Advisor, and you know, speaking for KT, not for General Mattis or anybody else, wanted to get your assessment on the foreign policy, maybe not only of the Obama administration, but also the Bush administration.
Well, again, okay, so I'm not going to speak for Mattis in this regard, but I'm speaking for myself. I think we've had the two of the worst foreign policy presidents in American history back-to-back, and that's Bush and Obama. And they both made the same mistake, although they probably cringe by the comparison. They thought the only thing that stood in the way of pro-American democracy in these countries was pro-American dictators. So Bush toppled them by force and then created democratic governments for them. Obama helped topple the dictators, and then he stood away and then expected them to create democracies on their own. And they both forgot about our own history. You know, we toppled a dictator, King George, more or less by ourselves in the 1770s, and then it took us a decade to write a constitution, and then more decades to get things that democracy needs to survive, an independent judiciary, law enforcement under control of elected officials, free market capitalism, independent press, and all the rest. So true government, self-government, true democracy, it happens only when the people themselves fight for it in the first place and then create it themselves. It does not happen overnight or in the length of the term of a meddling American president.
Well, you know, it'll be very interesting to see if foreign policy is much of a topic in the upcoming Democratic presidential debate, and it will be interesting to see how many positions Joe Biden changes in the upcoming presidential debate. So I think we'll be talking about that next week. KT McFarland, as always, wonderful to have you with us. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Rick. Bye.
Coming up on 7:59 on the Saturday Morning Update.
WMAL, first thing each morning.
Can you believe this news today?
Mary and Vince.
You just cannot make this stuff up, Vince.
Lisa Baden traffic.
I have several accidents now.
Wake up.
It's hilarious.
With WMAL.
It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine. And it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Thank you for being so strong.
Where Washington comes to talk.
You're making a huge difference.
Washington's Mall.
That's what we do.
105.9 FM, WMAL.
That's it for the Saturday morning update. 8 o'clock news is next with Heather Curtis, then it's Garden Sense right here on WMAL.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington.
105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station, where Washington comes to talk.